Hello and welcome to the current message series of our pastor, Dr. David Hamilton from West Heights Baptist Church, Pontotoc, Mississippi, where our mission is to love God and to serve people. Now, let's listen into this week's message.
Good morning. I think this mic is going pretty good. Look, I'm going to tell you one thing. I am a bit tired, and so Brother David, I texted him, I said, hey, what time you want me at the church? And he said, 6:30 in the morning. And I said, in that moment, you know, he doesn't usually joke like that because he's not that funny. And so that, so I was like, all right. So, I mean, in that instant, I began to immediately prepare for 6:30. Then he sends back, I'm just kidding, 8:15 is fine. And, yeah, my son, though, is 13 months old, and I guess he read the text message because about 5:50 this morning at Hotel Ivy there in Eckroot, my mom's house, he woke up, and he did not intend to wake up by himself. And so hopefully my wife and he will be here for the 11 o'clock service, but he decided he would take a nap, and I envied that. But I'm going to tell you, we've had a great weekend, and it's been fun. The students are probably still in a sense of comatose. We'll chug them full of donuts and chocolate milk in the Sunday school hour, and we'll get them in here after that. There may not be any carpet left. We're running up and down, but we're going to do it, kind of like Pentecostals do. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke. So let's get into it. I'm home. I love it when I get to come back to West Heights. Thank you, Brother David, for letting me be here. Craig, I don't know what magic potion you have for the choir, but I noticed Hunter and Madison Foshi, I think they just joined like a week ago, and they're already in the choir. I didn't realize we were paying people to be in the choir now. Because I'm going to tell you, I shared with the entire Pontotoc County D-Now about how my first kind of grounded step in West Heights was being in the youth choir. And I remember I showed up and I smiled, and it was Lisa Buckner who pushed me into the youth choir loft, okay? And you really couldn't tell or know if you were a student at South Pontotoc. And so I remember coming into the youth choir, and I smiled and said, you got a solo. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Not a shot, not a chance. And so I got a trio. And so there were three of us. And I remember specifically because the solo before me was Nathan Tibble. And Nathan Tibble had a voice like this. And so he was singing this low voice. And then it was come up to me, Sam Ivy. And I had to sing the song, Love the Lord Your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Except I was very nervous as an 11th grader, and I was standing right here. It was before we did with the chairs. We still had the pews, and the stage was different. And I was like, love the Lord Your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. I mean, I was singing as fast as I can. I mean, you'd have thought I was selling cattle at the sale barn. It was so fast. And I was up for hire at that point. Get me off the stage, okay? And so... that was kind of my entry point. Youth group was great, but really it was in the choir loft where I felt like, oh man, they want me here, I can be here. And I remember one time I got so embarrassed. It was an Easter or Christmas, I don't remember what it was, but we had t-shirts for the choir loft. And I remember we probably had the hardest youth choir routine we've ever had to do because we let Lacey Higgins Pierce pick it. And we sang this Francesca Battistelli track. And if you are my age, Hannah Bailey, Hannah Quarles, you would know. We were in this choir loft, and it was these worship songs, and we were just like, it wasn't a, you know, our God is an awesome God. No, it was like this like high note falsettos, and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. Well, also, apparently they didn't have my size shirt, and I didn't remember to order one. And so I show up, and I get a 2XL t-shirt. It was a dress. I tucked it in. Let me tell you, I sweat so bad. I'm sweating right now. It's terrible. But that shirt couldn't have been more showing of sweat. And I remember I was up there with my arms like this. And by the time it was done, I put my arms up, and it looked like I had been bathing in the choir. It looked like the baptistry had spilled over onto my torso. That being said, I'm thankful for West Heights Baptist Church, and I think I humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. I've had a lot of humbling moments up behind me right here. But this morning, we're going to be in primarily John chapter 17. If you got your Bible, sure hope you do, if you'll turn there. John chapter 17, this is the high priestly prayer, page 1553. That's what it is in my Bible, probably not yours. But I tell you this, while you're turning there, Brother David, they give us these roles at the Baptist building, and we got these names. They're this long. My business card can fit it. But primarily, Baptist Student Union work is what I get to do. We're on 29 campuses. I got 26 full-time staff. I have 42 staff in total. And their goal and our goal is to make the gospel known on the college campus. And I like to put it like this. We are your missional arm on every college campus in Mississippi. That's it. If you want to know where you're sending your missionaries, where your CP dollars go, where your Margaret Lackey dollars support, it's what I get to do day in and day out. So thank you, first off, for your faithfulness and your stewardship and giving. West Heights is a staple church of the Mississippi Baptist Convention. I told all the youth pastors this in our meeting before the first night of DNOW, and I said, y'all know that Pontotoc is the jewel of Mississippi Baptist, not just the Northeast area, but it's the crown jewel of Mississippi Baptist. But I didn't say it's really West Heights is the jewel of Mississippi Baptist. This is the place where it happens. And so, but I'm glad to be back. Right here, as we jump into John 17, this morning we're just going to be, and this is going to be my charge to the students later. We've been talking about all weekend a couple of questions, but all of them circulating around the question why. You know, why does God want me? You know, why should I follow after God? Why is Jesus worthy of my life? These are three questions that we've been tackling with the students. And really, I didn't come up with the series. You know, I was talking with Casey, and he was saying, hey, these are questions that us youth pastors have kind of circulating around our youth groups. Lots of students asking the questions why. But here's what's encouraging. It's not that students are asking the question why, maybe they're doubting God. That's not it. If they never ask why, will the truth ever set in? You know, because somebody's really, we're only listening best when we're the ones asking the questions. These students are only listening best when they're the ones that are asking, why does it matter for God to be number one in my life? Why does it matter for God to be at the front and me to be following step in step with Him? Why is He worthy of all praise, honor, and glory? And so, when we think about that, what better place to ask it than in the church? Because they're asking it regardless. They're going to be asking what the purpose of their life is. And as you raise up the next generation, and as I get to receive them, over 180,000 college students in Mississippi, as I walk on the campuses and see the lostness and the front lines of ministries, there are parts of a college campus where I feel like we are pitching a tent at the gates of hell. It is so dark because there's so much lostness. So if we do not raise up a generation in the church, in the body, in the discipleship groups, in the youth group, in the children's ministry, in the church, if we're not doing it here, well, the light may stay in the upper room, but it may never leave. I think about when Jesus appeared to those disciples. He appeared to them in the upper room, and the lamp was lit, and the light of the world was right there in the upper room, but it didn't stay there. It went out into the world. But before Jesus ever did any of that, he picked in John 17, this is what happens. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him all authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Verse 4 says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the same glory that I had with you before the world existed. This is verses 1 through 5 of John 17. Right here, we see that this is the Garden of Gethsemane. He's on the Mount of Olives. And he knows in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that he has prayed, Father, if this cup could pass from me, let it. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So Jesus is sweating blood. The weight of what he was going to do for the Father by taking the cross, taking our sins upon himself, was weighing on his humanity. You know, we don't understand. You know, sometimes we say he humbled himself in the likeness of man. Exactly. He understands every part of our humanness, yet without sin. And so Hebrews 4 attests to that. The author of Hebrews says that we have such a high priest who has faced everything that we have, yet without sin, in his perfection, that we can draw near to the throne of grace in our time of need to see that Jesus is there. Jesus is our great high priest. But right here in the high priestly prayer, we see that since he knows that the cup of wrath has to be poured out on him, so he knows that God's will is for him to take the cross, what happens is he starts praying, well, Father, glorify your Son as you did before the foundations of the world. You see, sometimes the first point is this, is we need to pause. Jesus literally was getting ready to defeat death. The old covenant was passing away, and the new covenant was being made full. When I say that, you know, if we think about the old covenant, okay? Every time I come to Pontotoc, I always drive through livestock. I even stepped in a pile of livestock last night at the little agri center. Let me tell you what happened. I was getting ready to walk up to the stage. My son was over on the side, and you know how the agri center is. It's dirt everywhere, and then on the sides, there's toxic sludge that never dries up. Well, I'm walking over to see my son. I can kiss him on the forehead, get ready to walk up on the stage. I had 3 minutes. The band was playing the last song. Yep, I was walking, and then all of a sudden, I was engulfed by what I only hope was mud, okay? It came up, and it touched both sides of the top of my shoe, and I thought, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. You know, I'm thinking, man, I'm about to go have a lot of fun. Yeah, I got swallowed up by some mud. But that being said, we got it all wiped off and everything. But for a moment there, I just paused. I was like, wow, it feels like time is passing, like the seconds are hours. I'm thinking, what just happened? The band's playing in slow-mo. It's like I'm an out-of-body experience. I'm like, how am I about to go up there? And when I say I stepped in mud, I'm not talking about I stepped in mud. There was as much mud on the side of my shoes as coverage of my entire shoe. I looked like I had a club. I mean, I was shaking it, and it was flying everywhere. And I thought, this is awesome. Sometimes we take a step in a direction we feel like we need to go, and it gets messy. Sometimes life is like that for us. We start feel like we're following after Jesus, and we still walk through messy seasons of life. We still walk through the rough spots. And it breaks down the misconception. A lot of times I have college students who really hit me with this a lot. You know, like, I love following Jesus, and I'll hit them with this question. I'll say, well, How have you struggled with it? Has there been a struggle? Has there been a hard season? He said, no, God's good. It has just been awesome all the way through. And I thought, that sounds awfully a lot like the parable of the sower. And there were the seed that landed in the shallow, rocky soil. And it sprung up immediately. But when the sun came out and the drought came, it withered away because it had no root. You see, oftentimes people want to love Jesus in the high seasons, but whenever the sun comes out and life gets hard and we go through trials and tribulations, loss of loved ones, you can name it, we wither away because we have no root in Christ. Those are not the markings of a believer going through a bad time. Those are the markings of a lost person. And I see it day in and day out on the college campus. But what is a person who loves Jesus and is faithful? What do we do when we're getting ready and we know we're walking through difficult seasons? We mirror our Savior Jesus Christ. And so he did. He just paused. He went into the innermost parts of the garden to pray. And so in there, he stepped away from his current situation. Now, some of you say, oh, I can't take a step away from this situation. No, maybe you can't take a step away in the way you are thinking. You know, sometimes we'll be running so fast. I was in the Delta this past Christmas. I say Christmas. It was a couple weeks before Christmas. We were doing a big mission trip. We called it Christmas in the Delta. I had over 100 students in the Delta. We were staying in the metropolis of Sunflower, Mississippi. There's nothing but a Dollar General in Sunflower, Mississippi. It's a food desert except for the Little Debbie cakes that are at the Dollar General. It was basically Et Crew 10 years ago. Nothing, right? That's a joke. Ed Crew, what has happened? Okay, we have a Zaxby's here now. I don't know what Pontotoc's doing. We're out there, and we had one of the guys on our trip took a huge fall, and older guy, and he had gotten roughed up pretty good on the just falling down the concrete, and I'm gonna tell you, I was like, what are we about to do? It derailed everything in a moment. I'm like, okay, everything has changed. We're halfway through this trip. We're about to have to pull out some people. A part of a group's about to have to go home because a leader's gotten hurt. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm 28 years young going into the trip. And that moment, I turned 28 years old. I was like, man, life is hard. And it's because I had all these expectations of how this mission trip was going to go. And then the world hit me with a bam change. We have all these expectations of how our lives are supposed to go until something happens. You know, I know in the military they have a rule, you know, you stick to the plan until somebody shoots. And then it all changes. Everything changes in a moment. How many shots do we take from Satan in this world day in and day out as God's church? We take hits all over the place. A plan is only good until something changes it. And sometimes we have to understand that we have to take a step back, a pause, and be intentional to say, God, what are you doing? How would you lead me? Do I need to switch the left to the right? And so that's not necessarily what's happening here, though. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knows the plan, but in his humanness, he's saying, God, if there's any other way, do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so Jesus is pausing, and he's giving us a picture. You know, we think of the Lord's Prayer. This is my first memory of the Lord's Prayer. South Pontotoc High School, South Pontotoc Middle School soccer team. We did the Lord's Prayer before every game. The only problem was that I wasn't a believer in Jesus and I had no idea what the Lord's Prayer was. And so when we would go to huddle up, they're like, all right, let's do it, let's go win. We'd get waxed. I don't know who we'd play. They'd beat us like a drum. We're sitting there, let's get in the huddle. Okay, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Everybody take a knee. And it would go something along this. Our Father. Amen. Because I did not know the Lord's Prayer. I would mumble it and mumble it every... I did it for several games. I'm like, I don't even know the Lord's Prayer. I didn't know Jesus as my Savior. And finally, one of my buddies named Preston come and put his hand on my shoulder and said, hey, I don't think... Do you know the Lord's Prayer? I'm thinking, no, where'd y'all learn it? He said, it's in the Bible. And I'm like, I didn't know that. And it was one of those moments where if one of my friends who was a faithful believer had not paused and come aside and said, let me give you some clarity on God's word, I would have kept mumbling the same old thing time in and time out. There's two ways to pause, two reasons to pause. The first one as believers is when we're going through these trials, let's take a step back and allow and give us some fresh perspective that God is bigger than our trials. He's so much bigger. And more times than not, problems only become a real issue when they're above our pay grade. Once we feel like we don't have the money to afford it, that's when we start praying. Thank our Lord that He was faithful first and that He was already working the way that He does and that He's the one that's got us. So we pause to evaluate and say, God, you've got me. You're leading me. You're sustaining me. I want to follow after you. Two, sometimes we need to pause out of the busyness and chaos of our life to look around and see that there are lost people around us who so desperately don't know Jesus. You know, it's kind of like I was at a conference the other day and I heard an illustration. It was like this. He said, I had a dream. There were two escalators. And one was headed down into the fires of hell and the other one was headed up to the gates of eternity in heaven. And so, but these two men were on, they had lived life amongst each other, they had known each other, one lost, one saved, and they end up intersecting on these escalators, one going down and one going up. And as they were crossing paths, headed on totally different directions, the lost guy yelled over, "You knew and you didn't tell me." Sometimes we need to take a pause just to realize how one blessed we are, how full our cup really is in Jesus alone, and knowing that God has prepared us for such a time as this to be a light for Him. And so when I see here Jesus is pausing, He's not only doing that to be with the Father, but we get to read it here and no doubt see that it's important in the craziness of life to take a pause, draw near to the Father. Well, how do we draw near to the Father? We pray. You know, I think about in 1 Kings, Elijah, he is one of God's faithful prophets. And now Elijah, he'd been through a lot. He had single-handedly had to deliver over 400, 500, 600 prophets of Baal to the Lord. He'd been threatened with his life. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Jezebel was the worst. She was the worst. And so he had been threatened every which way. God performed miracle after miracle to deliver Elisha. And this is what happens. Jezebel sends him a note and says, The same way that you killed the prophets of Baal, I'm going to do that to you. And so he just gets really fearful. He gets threatened, and God has already delivered him time in and time out. But then he just goes on the run. He ends up running to a cave. We do that. We love God. We trust him. We praise him. But sometimes things will get hard, or we will face persecution, and we get on the run. We start running as fast as we can. Maybe not physically, but you can tell when somebody, you can tell when yourself, and you can tell when somebody else claims to love Jesus and maybe has a relationship with him, but is not living step in step with him. You see, when we don't have a healthy prayer life, we have an empty cup. When Jesus paused, let me pick up in verse 6 and tell you some more of what he said. He said, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you've given me is from you." Verse 8 says this, "For I have given them your words that you gave me," it gets wordy, "and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours." Verse 10, "All mine are yours and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one." Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane that we would be one amongst each other. There's only one unifying force, one unifying spirit in all of the world. There are a lot of ways that we connect with each other, but outside of Jesus Christ, we cannot be unified. Anything else is a foundation of sinking sand. It will fall. And so this weekend, you know, we constantly are covering these topics of why. Usually when somebody is plaguing us with so many whys and so many what ifs, really, so they don't really want the answers because they probably had enough of the world's answers. They're looking for the displayment of the truth of the gospel. Sometimes we settle for the world's answers when really we just need to draw near to God's truth. His word carries it all. His word speaks to it all, and it's a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. I love this. You know, talking about being humble. I went over to there was one of the churches. Me and Abby tried to make a little circular run that, and I've got to beat a bunch of kids at ping pong this morning. I'm gonna be a sweaty mess, Brother David, when I get here for the second service. But because I've got 14 challengers waiting for me, I'm gonna break all their hearts. But I just like old times. I was walking in a gym yesterday at one of the churches, and I've got some fake teeth, and they're not fake, they're real to me, but they're permanent teeth, you know. It's got dentists to fix them. Well, when you walk into somebody that's using a black light, a glow-in-the-dark type thing, they glow, and it's kind of crazy, you know, because they don't all glow. And so I walk in, and I'm smiling, and a little eighth-grade boy walks to me and said, "What's wrong with your teeth?" And you know, I'm like, "What's wrong with your voice?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's wrong with your face?" I crumbled the kid. No, I didn't do that in physical, in my mind. But I'm telling you, sometimes, you know, we needed to pray that God would allow us to walk humbly. And I'm not saying I need to be humble by an eighth grader every day. I don't have an eighth grader. I will one day, and I know that Layton, my son, I will be singing, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord." Now, but I'm telling you this, we need to pray earnestly that God would put us in seasons and in green pastures beside still waters, that we would find the peace that surpasses all understanding, that our cup would be full, and that we would go and love those eighth graders who don't know boundaries, and that we would be able to love the lost, love the unlovable, because the world has no love to give. There's not one amount of love that this world has for anybody. I covered this weekend with the students. To be holy is to be set apart. But if you hold on to the tassel of our Lord Jesus Christ and you try to hold on to the world, you won't be holy and set apart. You will be pulled apart. You can't serve two masters. But Jesus right here is praying that we would be unified together as the church, as the body. I mean, I think about the old West Heights t-shirts that we had made at the comfort color, Lighthouse on the Hill. Shining the light of Jesus into not just this community, but the surrounding communities, this state, this region, the world. West Heights Baptist Church was founded not to be the church where you could wear blue jeans, but I'm thankful we can do that too. That West Heights was founded as the church to be a gospel presence right here in Pontotoc and even further. Your investment, your gospel investment in the generations that are coming up will leave Pontotoc and go far and wide. But the investment you had in my life has already affected my son. And I pray it'll affect his son and then his son. It's generational kingdom work. And so when we think about praying, well, let's not be like Elijah, who when God had delivered, he went off on the run, ended up in a cave, and he was praying, and God sent a great earthquake, God sent a great windstorm, God sent a great fire. God wasn't in any of that. But then Elijah heard the still, small voice of the Lord, and he wrapped his head quickly and fell, because he was hearing from the Lord. Sometimes we look for God in places where he's not promised his presence. We can look for God where his presence is promised, reading his word and praying in faithful anticipation that he will not only answer a righteous prayer, but also you'll hear from him. Most of prayer is when we tell God what we want, what we need, as if he doesn't know. But it's good for us to tell him and make that request to him as a son and daughter to our Heavenly Father. But also, we need to listen earnestly. If you feel like your prayers are falling on deaf ears, you might have a dusty Bible. Because only when we have a healthy clinging to God's Word do we understand his leading through a healthy prayer life. So we pause, we pray, and then we play, okay? We get back into it. I had to get a third P, and I know Brother David always has these awesome little acronyms going on. I was like, how do I get a third P? You know, we're pausing, we're praying, we're playing. I don't know. So anyways, that was my desperate point to kind of catch a third point. We proceed is a better word. Now, I will tell you this weekend, aside from stepping in a big mud hole, Bill, I call it stepping in a big pile of Bill, you know, that, I'm just kidding, Bill, I love Bill. It's one of those things where getting back in play this weekend was a fun time. Students were running around. I can only imagine. I didn't get to make it for the Nerf War. I blame Casey. I didn't know what time it was happening, but I probably would have lost an eye. But I did see where they were in the nursing homes, and the students here at West Heights were investing in members who are in seasons of life where they may feel as if meeting the Lord is coming soon. I find it so important for our youth to be the hands and feet of Jesus and loving the people who may not feel the love and warmth of Jesus like they once did. They may not have family that are close by. They may feel that in a sense, in a worldly sense, there's some hopelessness, some depression. You know, but they have the hope in Jesus, but it doesn't make that season any less harder in the flesh. But our youth are being, and I say our youth, they are being a light for Jesus in this world. It is great to run and be a part of that. And so as we think about pausing, taking a step back and saying, okay, God, you help us analyze the situation. Help us to walk step in step with you. And then send us back in. We pray, God, okay, fill my cup, God. I draw near to your word. When we talk about pressing play, we need to be able to go in as the Great Commission, going and therefore making disciples of all nations. I love telling the students this last night. A lot of times, if we fixate so heavily on the word go, we will miss the greatest part of the Great Commission. It's making disciples. You see, if we just go, well, I'll tell you this, my wife did summer mission. She was a BSU summer missionary at Disney. You're thinking, that sounds nice, being a missionary at Disney World. Are you kidding me? All the ice cream you can think of, that's not what she was doing. She wasn't at Disney World, but she was in Orlando. But even then, she kind of recalls it was one of the hardest summers being in paradise, but serving the Lord. It's because the labor of love that God has called us to, those of you who are teachers in the local school, wow, okay? What does the mission field look like for you? Labor, toil, hardship. It has never been harder than now to be a public educator, right? I have conversations with people my age day in and day out who are teachers. Every one of my roommates is a football coach and a history teacher. I think they're better at football than history, but it's fine. But it's one of those things where they constantly are talking about how hard it is to invest in youth. And I will dare say DNOW Weekend is the best, awesome beginning point of investing in youth. Some of you, you're saying, I want to get more involved in raising up the next generation. Well, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. We're already doing these things here at West Heights. Jump in. Continue to be a part. Give a Sunday school teacher a break for a week. Say, hey, let me come in and teach Sunday school for you. You just take a break. Go to church. Go to another Sunday school. Let me invest in these youth with you, because I'll tell you this. When we gather together to love the younger generation for Jesus and to raise them up in Christ, they'll be the ones taking care of us and visiting us, and their kids will be the ones coming to the nursing homes, praying for us and laying hands on us and saying, God loves you. And we'll know even more then that when the race has been run, that we'll know it was all worth it because God said so and because we're looking at the fruit of a life lived well for Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that I want to die right now. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm trying to say this, is that life is a mist here today and gone tomorrow. And man, I'm going to tell you, I blinked and it was 10 years when I was a senior, falling asleep right there during Dan Young's prayers. That was a joke, but it was really Brother David's sermons. So that wasn't a joke. 10 years have passed just like that. And I'm telling you, life is full of chaos and beauty. I want to give you an illustration. Philippians 3 is one of my favorites, and it says this, Philippians 3:12, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on because of Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think in this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Back in these days, I'm going to tell you, I hear the Amish are leaving the area. Don't know what that's about. Kind of crazy. But I just think about horse and buggy, chariot and buggy. Back in the day, if you were a rich man, you had an Amish buggy, okay? If you were a poor man back in these Greco-Roman days, or Hellenistic days, you had this little cart. It was kind of like those little mall cops, right? You're like leaning forward and on whatever they're called. That's kind of like that. They had a little single horse, and they had a little cart, and you just kind of lean forward. So right here, he says, I press on. Paul's writing, I press on towards the upward call. I lean in. Sometimes when the going gets tough, we step back. We lean back. We run back. God's called us to be a people who will persevere through his strength and his name alone. We lean in. We press on. West Heights, you have my heart. I love this church. I owe much of this church for how God's worked in my life. And I'll tell you this, he's not done doing the work here. He's not done doing the work in my life. And if you remember VBS from a year or two or 3 years ago, the good work that he began, he will bring into completion of the day of his son Jesus. I'll give you an illustration. Went skydiving one time, probably thinking, you crazy, man. Why are you jumping out of an airplane? It really wasn't an airplane. It was a crop duster, and I don't think it was ever certified to fly. But I know what happened. The old pews that we had in here, I found them. They were in Coleman, Alabama on this plane. They had cut the backs off. And so we're on this airplane. It's my wife's birthday. She was my girlfriend at the time. We got a group of us together and said, let's go skydiving. And we're thinking, woo, let's do it. And then we'll pay for it when we get there. We got there. It's like, it's $400 per jump. I'm thinking, do we need to go back? Because I'd already told my wife, I'll pay for you to skydive. That was the fastest $800 I've ever spent in my life. So if your kids ask you, it's not a free one. All right, so they don't let you jump out for free. They give you the parachute. Well, anyways, I got this dude. I'm jumping out. We're jumping tandem, which means I've got a dude strapped on my back. I don't remember his name, so I'm going to say Rodney, okay? If your name is Rodney, I don't know a Rodney, so I'm just trying to think if there's a Rodney in the room. But this guy's name was Rodney, And we go 2.5 miles up, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't know a crop duster could do this, right? We're just like, I'm thinking, this is so sketchy. And the door was kind of rattling. I'm thinking, why is that door not closed? Why is it not latched? And so we're going up, and anyways, we get about 2.5 miles up, and I'm kind of timid, right? I'm like, I do not want to do this. But I was like the little kangaroo. Rodney at 265 was the big kangaroo. He's about that size. So I said, how many times you jumped? He said, a lot. And I said, no. How many times have you jumped? And he said, man, more than I can count. I'm thinking, can you count? Because I don't know if this is a timing thing for the parachute, but I'm hoping you can. And so anyways, there's a big misconception. You do not jump out of an airplane. You fall and you scream, okay? And so it gets time, every time it's jumpers are flying out the plane, they're falling out. And I begin to get more nervous. And every time Rodney scoots up, my feet come up. Like, I'm just like, Rodney scoots. You know, I'm a limp noodle, right? And so anyways, we get to the edge of the plane. He said, you ready? And I said, not at all. And he said, listen. He said, if you feel like you can't breathe, I'm thinking, I've got a little bit of asthma. He said, just yell. And I'm thinking, all right. And so we fall out. And I'm yelling. And then finally I stopped yelling because I fall through a cloud. And I'm thinking, oh, this is awesome. He's like, look up. And I'm like, oh. And then so then I'm a flying squirrel. And then he pulls the parachute eventually, and it's terrible. It's like, you just wedgie. All right, but I wasn't going to say it, but I did. That's what happens when you come home. But anyways, it was a serene moment. Well, in 1986, there were these dudes, they just started streaming. This is a real story. They just started streaming. Now, streaming isn't like what the kids call it these days. It wasn't like internet. It was a news channel. And there were 7 dudes. They were jumping out solo. They were like these flying squirrels. They were doing all types of flips and tricks. And they had a news channel that was broadcasting the jump. And so the videographer was jumping around, and he was just doing all this stuff. And these dudes, they look like Mission Impossible. You know, like James Bond is up there, 7 of them. I mean, he's got clones. And so they're doing all these flips and tricks. And eventually, they get done with their routine, and it's time to pull the parachute. So one at a time, they pull their parachutes, and they go up. Now, when you jump, and you have a videographer, they're going to pull their parachute last because they want to get you landing, so they got to get down quicker. Well, as the parachutes were going up and up and up, you know, the videographer he's videoing the way down, and eventually the camera starts to shake violently and out of control. And what happened was, is that in the haste of the jump, the videographer failed to grab his parachute. He failed to grab the one thing that could save his life. We do the same thing. We jump into the chaos and the beauty of life. And there are a lot of people who are jumping into it and they do not know Jesus. They don't know the one man who has died to save their life. They've hitched themselves to anything other than Christ. You see, the overall lesson in this, is that life will be full of ups and downs, chaos, beauty, life, and death. But we only have hope through Jesus. And if we hitch ourselves to anything else, if we try to add anything else to our lives, well, that's not Jesus. It's Him and Him alone. And so, church, I just extend an invitation to you. If you have been waiting to join the church here at West Heights, if you've been waiting to make a membership final, give God your best step. This whole weekend, I've encouraged students to take a step. Ask why, ask why, ask why. Get God's truth and then take a step towards the truth. Maybe you've been visiting here for a while and you say, it's time that I really take a step for the Lord and proclaim out loud that He is my God and that this is the church where He's called me to serve and be a part of. Take that step. If you're not a believer and you're saying, hey, I've been running for God for a long time. It's time to take a step. I've been in this church for years, but I have only been knowing Jesus, not knowing of Him, not really knowing Him as my personal Savior and Lord. Then take a step. Brother David will be down here at the front. And some of you may need to pray where you are and say, wow, God is good. The youth of this church, they have an infectious spirit about them. I need God to relight my fire a little bit, pour some gasoline on my soul, because I need to start running fast after Jesus in this season. Maybe you had a good season a year ago, 6 months ago, and it's kind of tapered down. But there are going to be some new believers in this church, no doubt. I feel like God's working. I know God's working in our youth group, and I'm knowing that our students that you've raised up are sharing the gospel with their friends. But you know, Ronald Meek said this the other day. These days, a new believer has to backslide for 6 weeks to fit in fellowship with the local church. May it not be so. May God light a fire in our souls and we shine brightly, hitched to our Savior Jesus Christ, not only as our Savior, he's not just a saving mechanism, but he's the guide. He's the cornerstone and the capstone of all of our faith. I want to pray for us as we go into a time of response and closing. West Heights, now I will tell you, it'll be a little bit louder in the second service, so don't let your Sunday school get too crazy, but I want to say thank you for letting me be here, and thank you for your investment in DNOW and these students, and your investment in my life. My wife and I, we thank you because of your investment. I know more how to raise my son to love Jesus, so I can't ever say thank you enough. God, we love you. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. And Lord, I pray that the good work that you've begun, that you would bring it into completion of the day of your son, Jesus. God, I pray for anyone here who, God, needs to take a step. Maybe they need to come to the altar and pray. Maybe they need to come find Pastor, Brother David up front, or Lord, just pray where they are. God, if there's someone in here who hasn't taken that step of faithful obedience and baptism, God, would you give them the strength to do that? Lord, the boldness to come up and say, hey, I need to continue to tell people how good God is in my life by walking obediently. And lastly, God, there may be some people in the room that just are in a low season, God. They're kind of in a lull. They're having a hard time seeing your purpose in the season because of how chaotic their life is, how low things have been going. God, I pray that you would help them to pause, draw near to you in prayer, and realize the good work you've begun, you really are working it out. You are leading. So God, I pray for those who are in low seasons. God, they're not on the mountaintops, they're in the valley. I pray they set their eyes upon you. And God, you remind them that you are their God and you are their sustaining hand. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And in your name, amen.
We're glad you joined us today. If you'd like further information about how to become a Christian, how to live the Christian life, or more information about West Heights Baptist Church, visit our website at westheightsbaptist.org.